أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
One of them is the reconciliation of the people of Tema. Tema was a well-known town on the way from Medina to Syria, and it was located at a distance of approximately 400 kilometers from Medina. When the Jewish community of Tema came to know of the circumstances of Khaybar, Fadak, and the Valley of Qura, instead of creating any kind of opposition to the Muslims, they personally sent forth men and sought peace. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, accepted this, and allowed the people of Tema to stay in their area with all their provisions. On this occasion, an incident of offering the Fajr prayer later than its prescribed time is also recorded. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned from the Battle of Khaybar, he walked the entire night, and when he became tired, he set up camp near Medina and said to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that watch over the prayer time for us tonight. In other words, to wake them up at the time for the prayer. Hazrat Bilal offered as many voluntary prayers as he could during the night in order to keep himself awake, while the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions fell asleep. When the time for the Fajr prayer approached, Hazrat Bilal turned towards the direction of where the sunlight emerges and rested against his camel. However, Hazrat Bilal also fell asleep whilst resting against his camel, and so neither did the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wake up, and neither did Bilal or any of his companions until the rays of the sunlight shone upon them. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the first to wake up among the companions. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, became worried and said that, O Bilal. Hazrat Bilal replied that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, may my parents be sacrificed for your sake. That very being who kept your soul from waking up also kept my soul from waking up. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ordered to depart from there. As such, they travelled a short distance on their mounts, and then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, performed ablution. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, travelled a short distance, set up camp, and then performed ablution, and instructed Bilal to call the Iqamah. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, led the morning prayer. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not lead the prayer where he had set up camp earlier. Rather, he travelled a short distance ahead and then led the prayer in congregation. After the prayer, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the one who forgets to offer the prayer, he should offer it as soon as he remembers, because Allah the Almighty has said to observe the prayer for the sake of his remembrance. It should also be made clear here that the incident of offering the Fajr prayer later than its prescribed time has been narrated in relation to various expeditions. Some narrate it in relation to the Battle of Tabuk, and some on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. It is possible that the narrator might have had a lapse in memory and mentioned it in relation to another battle, and it is also possible that this incident occurred more than once. In any case, Allah knows best. On the way back to Medina, the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, were loudly reciting the Takbir, i.e. proclaiming the greatness of Allah the Almighty. Regarding this, Hazrat Abu Musa Ashri relates that whilst returning from Medina, the people ascended a valley and began loudly proclaiming Allah the Almighty's greatness, saying, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest, there is no God but Allah. At this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to them, that lower your voices, for you are not calling someone who is deaf or absent. Allah is the all-hearing and present. For this reason, speak with moderate voices, for you are calling upon one who intently listens and is very near and is with you. The narrator says that I was riding behind the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, heard me saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is, there is no power and no strength except with Allah. When I said this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, heard my voice and said to me that, O Abdullah bin Qais, I replied that I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Abu Musa Ashri's real name was Abdullah bin Qais. He stated that I am present, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that shall I not tell you of a statement to recite that is among the treasures of paradise? I replied that indeed, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. May my parents be sacrificed for you, certainly tell me. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is, that man has no power to avoid evil, nor any strength to do good, except with Allah the Almighty's help. In this way, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, drew my attention to this, and he stated that you are reciting these words, and these are very lofty words, and it draws a person nearer to Allah the Almighty. In any case, the journey towards Medina continued, and the Muslim army that had departed from Medina in Muharram 7 Hijri now returned during the last days of the month of Safar, or at the beginning of Rabiul Awwal, greatly reaping the blessings and victories of Allah the Almighty. There is some difference of opinion regarding how long the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stayed in Khaybar. According to Hazrat Ibn Abbas, he relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stayed in Khaybar for 6 months. And during that time, he would combine two prayers together. In other narrations, it is said that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remained there for 40 days. But most narrations indicate a shorter stay. The victory at Khaybar had many positive outcomes in favor of the Muslims. And one major result was that many of the Arab tribes surrounding them, who had been secretly plotting against Islam and the Muslims, became fearful. As a result, some of them offered peace, and others saw wisdom in pledging obedience. And in this way, the political status of the Muslims increased. Another result of the victory of Khaybar was that the power of the Jews in the Arabian Peninsula was practically finished. The Jews of Medina and of Khaybar had long been seen as a symbol of economic and military strength in the region. Furthermore, they were so resolute in their hatred and hostility towards Islam that they supported nearly every major attack made against the Muslims. And the third main impact was on the economic condition of the Muslims of Medina. Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, and various other companions have related that it was only after the victory at Khaybar that they were finally able to eat to their fill. Before this, they were not even able to eat to their fill. But after the victory at Khaybar, the Muslims had enough food and supplies that they returned to their Ansar brothers all the lands and shares that had earlier been gifted to their Muhajir brothers when they had migrated from Makkah in a state of poverty and hardship. There is a very interesting narration in relation to this from Hazrat Anas, which contains all the details of this. He narrates that when the Muhajireen arrived in Medina from Makkah, they had nothing, and the Ansar of Medina were people who worked in agriculture and cattle, and so they devised to distribute half of their agricultural yield every year to the Muhajireen. Hazrat Anas's mother offered her healthy date tree to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who then gifted it onward to Hazrat Ayman. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not keep it for himself, but gave it to her. And so now, that upon returning from Khaybar, the Muhajireen had returned everything back to their Ansar brothers, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also returned the date tree back to Hazrat Anas's mother. Hazrat Anas narrates that when I informed Hazrat Ayman that we have been given this tree back, she stated that there is no way I will return it, for it was given to me by the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Perhaps owing to extreme love for him, or how much she cherished a gift given to her by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, whatever the reason was, she refused to give it back. When Hazrat Anas informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, told Hazrat Ayman to give back the tree and that he would give her other trees in exchange for it. However, she continued to refuse, saying that you gave this to me in the early days, and it is truly blessed. It was only when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, offered her 10 times the fruit-bearing trees in exchange that she agreed. Then there is an expedition recorded in history known as the Expedition of Zatul Riqa. It is also known as the expedition of Maharib, Banu Salaba, and Banu Nimar, owing to the fact that these were the names of the tribes that instigated it. The expedition is also called Zatul Ajib, as many strange and wonderful miracles were witnessed during the expedition. Another reason given for its name as Zatul Riqa is that in that region was a tree or a mountain named Zatul Riqa. And another reason for it to be named as Zatul Riqa is related by Hazrat Abu Musa Ashri, who explains that the companions were greatly limited on their means of conveyance. They themselves were 6 people who had only one animal to ride, which they would take turns riding. And because of walking on the rough terrain, the companions' feet became wounded, and they would proceed by wrapping old torn garments around their feet. Even Abu Musa al-Ashari's own feet were wounded in this expedition. In fact, not only his feet, but the injuries extended to his nails. Even his nails had been ripped off. And because bandages are called Riqa, this expedition became known as Zatul Riqa. But in any case, these are the various names it is known by. At another place, it is recorded that the terrain of the region where this expedition took place was of different colors. Some have written that the horses were of various colors, while others have mentioned that either knots were made in the flags or the flags themselves were tied up, which is how it got its name as Zatul Riqa. Others have mentioned that it got its name because of all these various factors collectively. One of the names of this expedition is also the expedition of Salatul Khawf, because the prayer that is offered in a state of fear was offered during it. There is a difference of opinion in relation to when exactly this expedition took place. According to the books of history and seerah, this expedition took place either in the 4th or 5th year after Hijrah, and Ibn Hisham, narrating from Ibn Ishaq, places it in the 4th year of Hijrah, stating it occurred 3 months after the expedition against Banu Nazir. However, Ibn Sa'd is of the view that it occurred in the 5th year, while Imam Bukhari, citing a strong testimony, assigns this expedition to the 7th year after Hijrah, subsequent to the conquest of Khaybar. The basis of this later date lies in the presence of Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashri in this expedition. Since Hazrat Abu Musa accepted Islam only after the victory of Khaybar, therefore it is more plausible to date the expedition of Zatul Riqa to the 7th year of Hijrah. Hazrat Sahibzada Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the concluding section of Sirat Khatamun Nabiyyin, in which he has listed a series of topics for future volumes, had categorized the expedition of Zatul Riqa as an event that occurred post-Khaybar in the 7th year after Hijrah. One of the causes for this expedition was that certain people in the region of Najd, who would sporadically engage in theft and robbery, would thereby cause distress to the travelers. These people would not remain stationed in one place, and therefore it was very difficult to seize control of them. And so the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, resolved to take action against them. Another reason that is cited for this expedition is that it is reported that a man arrived in Medina with merchandise for trade, and after selling his goods to the people of Medina, he warned the Muslims that the tribes of Banu Anmar and Banu Salba had gathered an army against the Muslims, while the Muslims remained unaware of this danger. Upon receiving this news, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, appointed a deputy to oversee the affairs of Medina and commenced preparations for the journey. Ibn Ishaq records that Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari was appointed as his deputy, whilst Ibn Sa'd and Ibn Hisham state that Hazrat Usman bin Affan was assigned this responsibility. In any case, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, set out on this journey. It is further mentioned in the details of this expedition that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was accompanied by approximately 400 companions when he left from Medina, although other narrations mention the number to be 700 or 800. They reached the valley of Shukra, which lies at a distance of 2 days' journey from Medina. And after camping there for a day, various units were dispatched in different directions, and by nightfall all the units had returned, reporting that they had not encountered any enemy presence, and that they had erased their tracks. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, proceeded further with his companions until they reached Nakhl, which is situated approximately 62 miles from Medina. Upon arrival at the dwellings of the hostile tribes, they found no men and only women remained. These women were arrested, although some historians have omitted any mention of arrests. And the Bedouin men had fled to the mountain peaks and watched all of this from a distance. The men fled and the women remained behind. And according to some, they were taken captive, whilst others are of the opinion that they were not taken captive. However, majority are of the view that they were not taken captive. Hazrat Jabir narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, journeyed from a place called Nakhl to Zatul Riqa, where he encountered the army of the tribe of Ghatfan. Though no direct combat took place, but both sides remained in close proximity to one another and were anticipating an imminent attack from one another. At the time, there was a threat that the enemy could launch an attack, and it also happened to be the time of prayer. Therefore, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, led the Salatul Khawf, i.e. the prayer, that is offered in a manner whereby half of the people prayed the first half of the prayer behind the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. They then stepped back, and the other half then joined in the prayer to offer the second half of the prayer behind the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This prayer is also mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah An-Nisa, which outlines how one should offer the prayer in a state of fear, ensuring that the enemy is not able to launch an attack. Imam Behki, narrating from Hazrat Jabir, states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, led the Zuhr prayer. The disbelievers, having devised a plan to attack the Muslims during prayer, decided to hold off till the next prayer, and they stated, that the Muslims considered that next prayer even dearer to them than their own sons. Following this, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to inform the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, of the enemy's scheme, in that the enemy have held off from the attack till the next prayer. This narration has been recorded in Subulul Huda, which states that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about the enemy's plan. And so the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, performed the Salatul Khawf during the Asr prayer. And Ibn Sa'd mentions that this was the first occasion on which the Salatul Khawf was observed. The commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, Allama Badruddin al-Aini, notes that there is a difference of opinion regarding the first instance when the injunction regarding Salatul Khawf was revealed. It is said that the majority of scholars agree that the prayer was first performed during the expedition of Zatul Rika, though they differ on the precise year, some suggesting the 4th, others the 5th, 6th or 7th year after Hijrah. And according to one view, it was even practiced prior to the Battle of Badr al-Mawd, which occurred in Shawwal 4 Hijri. On this occasion, there is an incident mentioned of an individual who tried to attack the companions. It is mentioned that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, camped in a place one night, and they were faced with extremely strong winds. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, inquired of his companions as to who would stand guard during the night. Upon this, Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr and Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir stepped forward, volunteering to stand guard for the night. After this, both of them sat down on top of the valley. Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr said to Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir that I will stand guard for the first part of the night and you can sleep. And then you can stand guard in the latter part of the night and I will sleep. Hence, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir fell asleep and Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr stood up for prayers. In any case, it is mentioned that he began his prayers and a man from among the enemy saw him. He saw Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr's shadow on the mountain pass and could see movement. He thought that someone from among the Muslims is standing guard. And so, thinking that he is the enemy, this person fired an arrow which struck Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr on his body. Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr was so focused in his prayer that he took out the arrow and threw it away. He did not break his prayer, rather he continued with his prayer. He simply took out the arrow and threw it away and continued praying. The person then fired another arrow, and this too struck Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr. Again, he took this out as well. He then fired a third arrow, by which time Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr had lost a lot of blood. And so he completed his prayer and then woke up Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir. When this person who had fired the arrow saw another person was there, he then ran away. Upon seeing Hazrat Abbad bin Bishr injured, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir stated that, "Why did you not wake me up before?" Upon this, he replied that I started reciting Surah Al-Kahf in my prayers and I did not want to cut short the recitation. Thus, they had an extraordinary bond with Allah the Almighty, their loyalty and sincerity as well as their zeal for their prayers. He had no concern or worry that he was injured. And in some narrations, it is stated that Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir was also injured from the arrows. Nonetheless, after a 15-day expedition, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned to Medina, and he sent Ju'al bin Suraka to Medina to give them the good news that the Muslim army had returned safely. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah narrates that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Sarar, which is located at a distance of 3 miles from Medina, he ordered for some camels to be slaughtered, and he stayed there the entire day along with the Muslims. When night fell, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered Medina, and we were with him. Then there is also mention of certain miracles that took place during this expedition, And as mentioned earlier, this expedition is also known as the Expedition of Miracles. There is one famous incident where an opponent drew his sword on the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. As Jabir bin Abdullah relates, that he once accompanied the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, on an expedition towards Najd. And during the journey, they stopped in the afternoon at a valley which was densely covered with thorny shrubs. By the time the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, set up camp beneath an acacia tree to take shelter, it was afternoon and the companions dispersed in search of shade beneath the scattered trees. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, hung up his sword. As Jabir narrates that they soon fell asleep, but after a short while they awoke to the voice of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, calling them. When they went to him, they found a Bedouin seated beside him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that this man seized my sword while I was asleep. When I woke up, it was unsheathed in his hand, and he said to me that who will protect you from me now? To this I replied, Allah, and hearing this, the man placed the sword back in its sheath, and this is the same man who is seated before you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not stipulate any punishment for him. This man's name has been mentioned as Ghuras bin Haris, and some refer to him as Ghuraq, while others mention his name as Ghuaris. It is also narrated that he may have later accepted Islam, though some reports suggest that he did not formally enter the fold of Islam. However, he did pledge that he would never again stand in opposition to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. There is another incident recorded in the books of history wherein a sword was raised against the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This occurred at the hands of a man named Dosur. Some scholars are of the opinion that both incidents refer to the same event, while others maintain that they were separate occurrences. The incident involving Dosur is said to have taken place in the third year after Hijrah, upon the return from the expedition of Zi Amr, or the campaign against Banu Ghadfan. It is narrated that as the disbelievers observed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, resting alone, they approached their leader Dosur, who was renowned for his bravery. And they said to him, "And now is your chance. Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is laying down all alone, and it is your job now to see to this task." In one narration, it is mentioned that upon seeing the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in solitude, Dosur said to himself that if I do not slay Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, at this very moment, then may Allah destroy me. With this intent, he drew his sword and advanced until he stood beside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Then, all of a sudden, he cried out, "Now tell me now," or perhaps he said, "Who will save you from my hand today?" With perfect composure and contentment, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that Allah shall protect me against you. Upon this, Dosur fell to the ground and the sword slipped from his hand. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, immediately took hold of the weapon and said to him, "Then now tell me, who will protect you from me?" Upon this, Dosur said that La Ahad, that no one can now save me. And I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. He then said that by God, never again will I gather people against you. This was the vow he made, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, granted him that very sword. And according to one narration, Dosur turned to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, "By Allah, you are better than me in showing kindness." Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that I have a greater right than you to show kindness. Following this, Dosur returned to his people. However, he was completely changed. He was now propagating the message of Islam to his people. Dosur related an incident of what happened to him and how he fell. He narrated his incident of him falling as follows: that I saw a tall man there, and when I stood there wielding the sword, I saw a very tall man had come there, and he pushed me, which caused me to fall on my back. He says that at that point I knew that this was not a man, but in fact was an angel. And so at that very moment I professed that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. He says, by Allah, I will never take any action against him. Thereafter, he began inviting his people to Islam. Thus, this is another way in which this incident has been recorded. At the same instance, there is also an incident relating to a bird. Hazrat Jabir relates that we were with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and one of the companions came with a baby bird, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was watching him. The bird's mother or father, either one of them, or perhaps both the mother and father, or just one of them, dropped itself in front of that companion who had taken its child. In other words, the larger bird, who was either the mother or the father, came and dropped itself in front of the companion who was holding its child. He says that I saw that the people were surprised at this. They were bewildered as to what had caused this bird to come itself and sit. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, you are surprised as to why this bird has come and offered its life for the sake of its child. For you have taken its child and it has presented itself in order to save its child. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then stated that by Allah, your Lord has even more mercy upon you than this bird. Allah the Almighty shows even more mercy than the manner in which this bird came out of mercy for its child. Among these miracles is an incident mentioned about the cure of a child stricken with madness. Hazrat Jabir relates that we set out alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, for the expedition of Zatul Riqa. Along the way, a Bedouin woman brought her son and said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, this is my son, and Satan has overcome him, meaning he had bouts of madness that would overcome him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, opened his mouth and placed his saliva in it, saying, O enemy of Allah, be gone. This was the prayer he made. And he said that I am the Messenger of Allah. And he repeated these words 3 times and then said, take this child. He will never suffer from the same affliction again. Then there is an incident of 3 ostrich eggs being blessed. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that during the expedition of Zatul Riqa, Urwa bin Zaid bin Harsi brought 3 eggs which were sitting in the place where ostrich lay eggs. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, O Jabir, bring the eggs and cook them. And so I cooked them and brought them in a bowl. Then I looked for some bread, but I could not find any. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the companions began eating the eggs without bread until they were satiated. That is, they had eaten to their fill, and the eggs remained in the bowl just as they had at the start. Then many companions ate from it, and then we continued ahead. On this occasion, there is also mention of an incident regarding a camel which complained against its owner. Hazrat Jabir relates that we returned from the expedition of Zatul Riqa, and we reached Harra when a camel came running and began babbling. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that, do you know what this camel has said? This camel was complaining to me about its owner. For years, its owner has been putting it to work, and now he intends to slaughter it. Thus, O Jabir, go to its owner and bring him to me. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I submitted that I do not know who its owner was. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that the camel will guide you to its owner. In other words, let the camel go and it will go to its owner. Hence, the camel took him to its owner. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that I brought the owner to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, spoke to him about the camel. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, sell this camel to me. And so the owner sold the camel to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who let it go to graze in the jungle. On this occasion, there is also an incident of Hazrat Jabir's camel getting lost. Hazrat Jabir relates that in the darkness of the night, my camel got lost, and I passed by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he asked me what had happened. I submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, my camel has gotten lost. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that your camel is at such and such place, go and get it. So I went in that direction, however, I did not find the camel. I returned and submitted the same thing, upon which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave me the same response. He says, I went back there, however, I did not find the camel, and so I returned. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said out of extreme kindness, now come with me. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, went with me until we reached the camel, and he handed it to me. There is also an incident pertaining to his fatigued camel. Regarding this very battle, Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah relates that I was accompanying the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and my camel became sluggish and exhausted. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, approached me and asked, Jabir, and I replied, yes, O Prophet of Allah. He asked, what's the matter? I replied, my camel has become slow and exhausted, and I have been left behind. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, dismounted from his own mount and asked, do you have water? I replied that yes. I brought him a bowl of water. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, blew into the water and sprinkled it on the camel's head, back, and also its hump. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked for a stick or staff. I handed him my staff, or perhaps he said that I cut a stick from a tree and gave it to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In any case, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, prodded the camel with it and gently pulled it along with his staff, and then instructed, mount it. I then mounted the camel and found it to have become so energetic that I had to restrain it from overtaking the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He continues to narrate that as I travelled alongside him, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, began conversing with me and asked that, have you married? Upon this, I replied, yes. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked, did you marry a virgin or a widow? Upon this, I replied that I married a widow. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, why didn't you marry a young virgin, so you could playfully enjoy each other's company? Upon this, I replied that I have sisters. Jabir's father had been martyred in the Battle of Uhud, leaving behind 7 daughters. And so Jabir stated that I have sisters and thought to marry a woman who would comfort them, comb their hair, in other words, take care of them. And so the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then advised that you are about to reach home. When you do, act wisely and cautiously. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then asked, will you sell me your camel? Upon this, I replied in the affirmative. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, bought it from me from 1 uqiya of silver. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, reached Medina before me, and I arrived the following morning. When I entered the mosque, I found him at its entrance, and he asked, have you just arrived? I replied, yes. He instructed, leave your camel and go inside the mosque to offer 2 rakahs of prayer. And so I went in and prayed. He then told Hazrat Bilal that weigh out 1 uqiya of silver for him, which was the agreed price of the camel. Hazrat Bilal weighed out the silver and gave me a little extra as well. And as I was departing, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that bring Jabir back to me. He says that I thought to myself that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, will return my camel, and nothing could displease me more than having to take it back. However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that take your camel back and also keep the payment too. In other words, contrary to Hazrat Jabir's expectations that he would return the camel without the payment, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed him to keep both the camel and its payment. He did not take the payment back. Then there is another miraculous incident concerning an abundance of water from a small quantity. Hazrat Jabir narrates that during the same battle, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, once instructed me that, O Jabir, announce for people to perform ablution. And so I proclaimed loudly that, hear me, perform ablution, perform ablution, perform ablution. However, after making this announcement, I informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that there is not a drop of water in this caravan. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed, go to such and such Ansari and see if there is any water in his water skin. And so I went and found a mere droplet at the mouth of the skin. It was so little that it would be absorbed if poured onto dry ground. In other words, it was so little that it was next to nothing. Thus, I came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and submitted that, O Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, there is hardly a single drop in the water skin, and if I pour it, the dryness of the skin will absorb it. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, bring it to me. And so I brought it, and he took it in his hand and began reciting something, i.e. a prayer. And I do not know what he recited. And then he gently squeezed the water skin. He then instructed me to bring a large tub, and I placed the tub before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, placed his hands inside the tub and spread out his fingers widely, and then extended his hands towards the bottom of the tub. In other words, he first spread his hands across it and then reached for the bottom. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, O Jabir, pour water over my hand and recite Bismillah, i.e. in the name of Allah, instructing him to pour whatever water there was over his hands. As Jabir says that I did so, and upon reciting Bismillah, I observed that water began gushing forth between the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's fingers, like a fountain, filling it completely. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then instructed, O Jabir, call everyone who needs water. People came, drank their fill, and became fully satisfied. And I asked, is there anyone else who needs water? When all were satisfied, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, removed his hand from the tub, which was still full of water. Regarding such miracles of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that at a certain level of divine communion, a human is sometimes able to exhibit power that is beyond its capacity, power that is tinted in divine color. During the Battle of Badr, our leader and master, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, threw a handful of pebbles towards the disbelievers, not accompanied by a prayer, but with his own spiritual power. That handful of pebbles took on divine power and caused such an extraordinary impact that there was not a single soldier in the opposing army whose eyes were not blinded. He further states, a sense of helplessness and despair overcame them, that they began to flee senselessly. It is this very miracle to which Allah the Almighty alludes in the following verse, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That is, when you cast that handful, it was not you, but God Almighty. In other words, the hidden power of God took effect, and no human power could cause this. In the same way, another miracle of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which was the splitting of the moon, was demonstrated by this very divine power. It was not accompanied by any prayer, as it happened merely by his pointing at the moon with his finger, which was filled with divine power. There are many other miracles which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, worked purely with his power and which were not accompanied by any prayer. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, on many occasions, he multiplied water so much by dipping his fingers into a cup of water that the whole army and their camels and horses drank of it, and yet the original quantity of the water was not diminished. And on many occasions, by putting his hand upon three or four loaves of bread, he satisfied the hunger of thousands. And on some occasions, he blessed a small quantity of milk with his lips, and a company of people drank from it and were filled. On some occasions, by adding his saliva into a well of brackish or salty water, he rendered it sweet. And on some occasions, he healed severely wounded people of their injuries by placing his hands upon them. On some occasions, he replaced the eyeballs of people which had fallen out in consequence of some injury received in battle and healed them with the blessings of his hand. In this way, he did many other things by his personal power, behind which worked a hidden divine power. O Allah, send your mercy on Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the family of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Bless him and grant him peace, for you are the most praiseworthy.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.